We start with COVID-19, another uptick in numbers this week as North Carolina saw a slight increase in COVID particles found in wastewater for the third week in a row. That number increased over last week, but it is virtually unchanged from where it stood at the beginning of June. And the state saw no change in COVID hospitalizations from last week. That's a positive sign after we saw that number increase every week since the beginning of July. In Hillsborough, Orange County contractors will be installing fiber optic lines along some streets beginning next week. The plan there is to connect three different county facilities and establish a backup internet connection in case the primary connection goes down. Here's Orange County Commissioner Renee Price speaking about that.
We're connecting all of our county buildings. You know, we've got West Campus and North Campus and the Central. So we're trying to get the courthouse is, we got, you know, offices there. So we're trying to connect all of that together. And because they're situated within, you know, our county properties are situated within the township of Hillsborough. So we do have to work with Hillsborough, the town, as well as DOT in order to lay this fiber optic. But this way we will all be connected. So that's what the project is. Hillsborough was invited to participate, but there was something about the timeline that we couldn't quite coordinate. But nonetheless, it is a coordinated effort with the town of Hillsborough, DOT, and our county offices.
County Commissioner Renee Price there. That project is set to begin on Monday and run about 6 weeks. Work will be ongoing weekdays from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Over to Raleigh now, where an organization called the Triangle Sustainability Partnership held an event earlier this week to launch a new campaign called Solarize the Triangle, designed to help residents and businesses save money installing solar power. That partnership includes all three towns in Orange County, including Hillsborough. Here's Hillsborough Mayor Jen Weaver.
This is basically a group. It offers group discounts for solar. So there's participating solar equipment providers. If you participate in the program, then you can get solar panels installed on your home at a discounted rate. And there was an earlier effort for this called Solarize Orange several years ago that our household actually participated in, and that's how we got solar panels on our roof here in Hillsborough. So I'm excited to have another more expansive rollout of this that'll cover our whole region.
You know, I've never actually talked to somebody who has solar panels on their roof about it. I assume that you're happy with it?
Oh, yes. It's really great. We started out actually when we first moved into our house, we've had solar hot water for a long time. So in the summertime, we rarely have to turn on our hot water heater. And the whole reason that Solarize the Triangle is, you know, programs like this are so important is because, unfortunately, getting solar panels, the way it works in North Carolina, it's very cost prohibitive for many, many people. So any opportunity to lower that price tag makes it more available to more homes.
That's Hillsborough Mayor Jen Weaver speaking there with 97.9 The Hill's Andrew Stuckey. You can listen back to the full conversation in the News on the Hill website section of our website, chapelborough.com. And if you want more information on that solar power campaign, visit solarizethetriangle.com. In legal news, State Attorney General Josh Stein is appealing now to a federal circuit court to block enforcement of a 90-year-old state law that bans people from circulating false information about political candidates to hurt their election chances. That appeal comes after a district judge refused to block the law earlier this week. Stein's 2020 election opponent is trying to use that law to launch a criminal investigation of one of Stein's campaign ads. Stein says he stands by the truth of the ad, but he's also arguing the law itself is unconstitutional. Finally, we head to the classroom, where a professor at Duke University has been taking steps to address political polarization by teaching students how to talk with each other across party lines about hot-button issues. Now, this week, that professor has been holding a faculty seminar to pass his knowledge on to other teachers.
I'm not a horse whisperer. I've learned from trial and error, and together we're going to try to spread this.
That's John Rose, Associate Director of the Civil Discourse Project at Duke's Kenan Institute for Ethics and the teacher of a class called Virtuous Thinking in an Age of Political Polarization.
There's a real demand on the part of students for classes like this.
The class is designed for first-year students at Duke to teach them how to interact with others who think differently, to listen, to understand, to be more open-minded, and to better express their own views as well.
I believe in the virtues, but they're real. Things like courage, even-handedness, humility, and charity. Hearing each other's remarks in the best possible terms. Being willing to learn from as big a variety of people as possible. Admitting that you can be wrong. When you do those things, you're not just a better person, you're a better learner and a better participant in democracy.
Rose says he was inspired to take action after the nastiness of the 2016 presidential election. Polarization only seems to have increased since then, but Rose says he and his students don't shy away from the toughest issues.
I began my semester with an anonymous poll. I asked students, do you self-censor? Why do you self-censor? And on what issues? And those are the issues that I put on the syllabus.
And the point is not to reach agreement or find some right answer to a question. Rather, Rose says it's about learning to approach these discussions with a spirit of love.
The hero in my class is Martin Luther King Jr. His sermon on loving your enemies is the culmination of the course. So it's really a course in nonviolence.
Now, Rose is taking the lessons he's learned in the classroom and trying to bring them to a wider audience. This week, he's co-hosting a seminar for 22 early career professors, including some from UNC.
I think teachers across the country are trying to figure out how to do this, and it's tricky and it's scary.
It may be scary, but Rose says it's possible and it's worth the effort.
I have had two sets of friends of different political persuasions take my class for the sake of trying to put back together their friendships, and they have.
And for the rest of us not in his classroom, what does Rose say we can do to be more virtuous in our own tough conversations?
Look within. I think there's a temptation in our modern politics to draw a line between good and bad at the edge of our party. I like to quote Solzhenitsyn in my class and tell my students that the line dividing good and evil runs through every individual human heart, including yours. Start there.
For more information on Rose, the class, and the seminar, visit keenan.ethics.duke.edu. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Franklin Street Realty. With the season just a week away, the ACC's annual preseason coaches poll is out for women's soccer, and the Tar Heels have been picked to finish third. But it's a very tight race between the top four teams, with Duke, Virginia, Carolina, and Florida State all getting four first-place votes and separated by just a handful of total points. Duke is your preseason ACC favorite, closely followed by Virginia, then UNC, then Florida State. Remarkably, Florida State, picked to finish fourth in the ACC, is also number one in the nation in the United Soccer Coaches preseason poll, with those other three teams also in the top 10. So, big bunch up of very good teams separated very narrowly from each other at the top of the conference standings this year. Two Tar Heels also made the preseason All-ACC team. Congrats to senior defender Macy Bell and junior midfielder Sam Miza. UNC is back on Dorrance Field tomorrow at 6, hosting Brigham Young for one final exhibition, and then the regular season gets underway next weekend. Thursday of next week, they're hosting Tennessee in their season opener. Other preseason exhibitions this weekend: UNC field hockey will host Appalachian State Sunday at 2, and UNC men's soccer will host USC Upstate Sunday at 7:30. Elsewhere in sports, if you're a Carolina football fan and you want to support the Tar Heel players directly, now you can do it. UNC has just launched the Chapel Hill NIL Club. Carolina fans pay a monthly membership fee and get digital content and meet and greets with players in return, more for bigger donations, and the proceeds get split equally among the players. ChapelHillNILClub.com is the website if you want to get more info or sign up, and their goal is to make $50,000 a month. And in baseball, a loss last night for the Durham Bulls, 5-4 at the hands of Jacksonville. The Bulls host the Jumbo Shrimp again tonight. First pitch is 6:35.